L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Munson producing, and Joe Rexroad from The Athletic joining us here, brought to you, of course, by Holly Gerenzen, your local Geico agent on Rosa Parks Boulevard. Holly can help you out with your car, home, motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance. RV, located at 2120 Rosa Parks Boulevard. Think local, buy local with Geico. Joe, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you, good sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. And actually, I didn't watch that show a lot either, but I know that that was based loosely on Hayden Fried. I think Derek is right. It was Minnesota State.
Yeah, it was Hayden coach. Fox. So
which,
I guess
which
it's close.
To be. It has to
yeah.
be.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
yeah.
So
yeah, Craig T. Nelson, baby.
So, Joe, the Titan, you know, you and I were here Monday, and Derek and I have talked about this every day. Special teams was a huge issue. And I know that the Tana stands think that, you know, he should have started week one, but that's revisionist history. I do think you can go back and look at this decision by Vrabel and Robinson and the group think over there for the Tennessee Titans and say, if it works out in these last two games with Greg Joseph, now the kicker for the Tennessee Titans, that you could argue, why wasn't this move made earlier?
No, totally. I think it's two totally different things. You know, I think there's no way to me that you can argue that, considering what Mariota had done and what you had at stake with him and what you didn't know about Tannehill, that you could just say, okay, that's it. We got Tannehill. Bye. You know, it's a revisionist history. And I went back and forth on Twitter yesterday with someone who was like, well, I'll just go with the better arm, better action. I'm like, well, look, if you were out at camp every day, you didn't come away every day saying, oh, Tannehill's so much better than Mariota. It's just not true. So that one, I know it's going to be hammered by some people if they don't get in, but I just don't buy that at all. I think the timing was, you know, probably about right. I even thought maybe you get Mariota one more chance, but, you know, obviously it's a good thing they didn't. As far as the kicker, though, I think they can be absolutely criticized because, I mean, Ryan Succop, we wondered if it was, you know, if it was good timing for him health-wise. He comes right out, misses three kicks at Carolina, and then he really didn't have opportunities for a few weeks, but then you look at the kickoffs, you finally have to go get a kickoff specialist, who, by the way, isn't a good kickoff specialist. And the whole thing is just, I think, really has been mismanaged. And I think, look, Cody Parkey, who apparently, I don't know, does Cody Parkey never want to kick again? I don't know, but he was 3 for 3. He had missed an extra point, but he was 9 for 12 on touchbacks, and he was doing all right. And maybe, you know, you go a little longer until you're sure on Succop. And now we'll see who this guy comes in with some pressure on him, Joseph, to see, because, you know, chances are one or both of these games is going to be a big kick for the Titans.
Now, the Tennessee Titans, they were able to run the ball last week. Maybe not like the way they wanted to, but they still were able to run the ball. But it was noticeable that Derrick Henry wasn't close to being healthy. There were several runs during that game that, you know, 2 weeks ago he would have broken. It would have been a 30 or 40-yard game, but they end up being, you know, 10, 12, 15-yard games. Going into this game against a high-power New Orleans offense, can they do what they've been doing with a 75 to 80% Derrick Henry?
Well, yeah. You know, first of all, I think it's a good sign, Derek, that he was out there for partial participation yesterday. I mean, obviously last week he was totally out. And so maybe that's a sign that it's going in the right direction. I mean, certainly you could tell Sunday that wasn't full-blown Derrick Henry. You know, I think I still think a guy who can batter his way for 4 or 5 yards in there and be a powerful back, even if he isn't as much of a threat to pop it outside and go for 50, I still think there's a lot of value in that against this team because, you know, those 9-minute touchdown drives like you had to start the second half against the Texans, you could use some of those Sunday. So So I think there's value. There's also the question of, you know, if the Texans do clinch the division on Saturday against Tampa Bay, you could make the case to sit Derrick Henry. Now there's still there are still, and actually John Glennon, you know, wrote these all up on theAthletic.com today. But there's still a scenario of a three-way tie, 8-8, that would burn the Titans. You know, if the Colts got there and they would lose out because of the Colts being in a three-way tie, in which case you would say, man, you really needed to win that Saints game. But that's the only scenario where the Saints game would matter anymore if the division is done this week. So, and Mike Vrabel even kind of, you know, he was at Glennon Aston yesterday and he said, you know, he sort of opened the door that there may be some decisions based on how the game goes Saturday.
Joe Rexroth joining us here from The Athletic. So when we sat down on Monday, we said, man, special teams, huge concern. Secondary, huge concern moving into these final two games when you play Breeze and Thomas and Kamara versus, and then again Watson and Hopkins. And Adoree Jackson looks like he's a limited participant in practice. You're getting healthier. Derrick Henry, as you just talked about, getting healthier. Are you more confident today than you were on Monday when I sat here for 4 hours and we discussed how dire the Titans' needs are going into the final two games?
Yeah, Dory especially is why. So definitely, because I just, you know, again, you put a Dory on that in that Texans game, and it's not like Will Fuller killed the Titans, but he did have the big fade, and of course, stilled out of the slot, got two touchdowns when they were in man. Just having a guy who can run with people, and I, you know, they're not going to put Adoree out there if he's still hobbling. I mean, when he's out there, you know, it's because he can be him again, and he's the one guy they have who can run with fast guys in the league, and they can feel okay about it. So I feel better about their chances, especially because, I mean, the Texans game is, you know, in all likelihood the more important one for both things. Obviously, if the division's on the line. And then, you know, of course, when it comes to the Steelers, you know, you need help there, but you also the win over the Texans is more important for the AFC win. So if he's back now, then you feel like that's a pretty good chance. Maybe he doesn't play this week, but that definitely trends toward him being back and maybe in good shape for the finale. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, with Henry out there and him, you've got to feel better because you just don't know with something like Adoree had. Like, how long is it? You know, it wasn't season end. He wasn't on IR, but you didn't know. And he's been moving around fine. So, and we're talking about just like in the locker room, stuff like that. He hasn't had any boot on or anything like that. So, I think that is encouraging. Another guy you didn't mention, Braden, who I think is a big concern Sunday, is Jared Cook. And we know what tight ends have done to the Titans at times. And that's playing these guys is just, it's a headache. And it's got to be, Dean P's got to be like, man, this is really what I get for three straight weeks, you know, dealing with these teams. But that's another guy that can really do damage to the Titans all day.
Now, Joe, the Titans did a good job at sort of digging themselves out of the hole and becoming one of the hottest teams in the National Football League the last, you know, nine games of the season, or at least the last seven or eight. Tannehill has become one of the hottest quarterbacks in. You know, whatever happens at the end of the season for him, he's earned himself a lot of money. If this team loses three in a row after what they're able to accomplish in the middle of the season, what would be the headlines? If they lose three in a row, finish 8-8, what then would be the headlines?
I think it's a twofold headline, and it's a, you know, it's a balanced. You know, upper and downer headline. You know, one is that the Titans botched the kicking situation and it really cost them this year. And two is that things look better for the future than they did, you know, a year ago because of Tannehill, because Henry has demonstrated it for another year. You know, there's a lot to like about this roster. And, you know, in the NFL, I mean, look, every team has a bunch of shoulda, couldas every year. But I think you can look at this team and project something better next year if they're able to keep the key people, add to it a little bit. Certainly they need more pass rush. We know that. But I think it's a twofold of they really botched an opportunity this year, but you have to feel good about 2020 and what they could be. And I think a year ago, guys, if you look back, you know, Nissan Stadium, win an end game. Mariota can't play. It's a nerve thing. You just don't know what that means for his future. Andrew Luck's on the other side looking great, and you're like, when's this team winning the division again, you know? And you can still look at it that way with Watson because he's great. You know, he's just that's going to be a tough team to beat. But still, I think you have to feel better about the long-term prospects right now than you did 1 year ago.
What if they go 8-8 and make the playoffs, Joe? Because that could still happen, too. So
yeah,
just something to think about.
It probably means they're going to Houston for like a third game in 4 weeks. So
or Kansas City to play a team that scores up that, you know, that put up like 600 yards of offense on them a couple of weeks ago. Last one, because right. I'll throw you a bone here because I know you're a huge hoops guy. Not a good night last night for the SEC with LSU losing to ETSU, Tennessee losing to Cincinnati, Kentucky falling as well. What do you make of what you saw around the college basketball world last night? Does it really mean anything to you at this stage of the season?
Well, I wrote about ETSU, so that should be going up this morning because they deserve some love. That's a really good team. I mean, they lost to North Dakota State on the road. They lost by, you know, really good game at Kansas. It's loaded with seniors. Steve Forbes has had a good program, but I really think that's a mid-major kind of team that could do damage. And, of course, you know, the SoCon, that's no picnic. I mean, Wofford and Greensboro, Furman, I mean, that's a tough league, but that is a really good team, and that's a heck of a win at LSU. LSU is still loaded. But, yeah, the SEC has been a disappointment. I think that was a tough loss for Tennessee last night. I thought Tennessee could get that win. They played better offensively. I mean, it's hard to not play better than you did against Memphis, but they played better than defensively. They had too many miscues, too many holes there, and then, you know, a lot of bad turnovers. I mean, 14 turnovers. I think Lamonte Turner had 4. Right now that team's scuffling a little bit, and I think that team is – I mean, they're going to be right on that line, it looks like, you know, as far as getting the tournament. And the SEC is not going to be as helpful as we thought. It's just been a bad non-league season for the league. Kentucky, again, with a bad loss. You know, and Vanderbilt last night, you know, two terrific players. And it's going to give them a chance to win some SEC games. But when you lose Cleavon Brown, and hopefully he's not out long, but, you know, knee injury, that's never good to hear. And they are so thin inside, and you saw that with the way Troutwood took advantage of them out in Phoenix, which is just a weird 3:30 local Phoenix Loyola against Vanderbilt on a Wednesday and like 10 people watching. But you know, it was a Hall of Fame classic. So
well, but you watched every second, Joe.
I watched.
God bless you. God bless you, sir. All right, we do appreciate it. Thank you so much, man. And obviously, we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys. See ya.
There you have it. Joe Rexford from The Athletic, brought to you by Holly Gerrans and your local GEICO agent on Rosa Parks Boulevard. Holly can help you out with your car, your home, your motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance. That's right, your RV, Derek, located at 2120 Rosa Parks Boulevard. Think local, buy local with GEICO. All right, we've got our $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa question. We're going to give that away when we come back. We'll give you that question. Again, at 1025 underscore MD. Make sure you're following that account and tweeting at that account when we give you the question next segment, as well as National Signing Day. Tennessee, big winners yesterday. We'll explain when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN 1025, The Game. National Signing Day yesterday. Tennessee Vols with a big day on the trail, as they call it. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. Or just a second here, Derek Mason, Braden Gall on Morning Drive. But we do have a $100 gift card to give away from a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. And the question, I believe, that was just posed on the socials by Munson, producer Munson back there. Marquise, would you like
one
to...
One name Munson.
One name Munson. I just called him Marquise, and I got to stop calling him Marquise. That's the date. Marquise is when he's on a date. Keese is when he's out at the club. Munson is when he's here in the studio.
Absolutely.
So, Munson. Would you like to read everybody the question at 1025 underscore MD?
Yeah, make sure you tweet us at 1025 underscore MD and also make sure you give us a follow as well. What was the best gift you got for Christmas as a child?
So here's the, I think there's, you can't really explain the caveat in the tweet here. So
don't just tell us you got Turbo Man. That's from like, Jingle All the Way, by the way.
If you got a Lexus as like a 16-year-old, okay, like I realize that's going to be like the best gift that anybody got. We're not looking necessarily for like the best item, but what was that gift that you just remember that was something you desperately wanted? It's more about the story, the context about what you wanted and why you got it and why you wanted it. So it's as we already have an answer. The first answer we got, Derek, was my divorce.
Oh, well, there you go.
So while that is in the spirit of the question, be creative, tell a story. You know,
hey, he's telling it.
We appreciate video form, you know, explanations. It's not just about like, hey, I got this really cool X, Y, and Z, and it was, you know, it's the greatest gift any human has ever gotten as a 12-year-old. It's more about the story, right? So we want to hear the story about like your singular moment as a child that you remember that you got this thing, whatever that thing is. And it's up to us. We get to decide. So we'll just look at all the answers and pick one at the end of the show, right?
Yeah, that'd be cool. I like that.
Like there's you remember there's do you have one, Derek, where you were like
mine were, it was these boots that I had been wanting
that's amazing.
When I was a kid, because they were the new in boots and everybody had them, and they came in all black, they came in like a tan color at the time, so they're all black or tan with fur around the top. They were called kangaroo boots, and it had this little zip thing on the side that you could put, you know, a few coins in or whatnot. But they were called kangaroo boots, and I had been wanting them boots forever because everybody, the who's who, had those boots.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was in the 6th, 7th grade.
So middle school? Okay.
And I had to have those boots, man, and I didn't know if my mom would get them or not, my mom and dad. And they made the mistake because, you know, when you're a kid, you're searching for presents. You're searching for what your parents buy you.
Oh, so you mean in the house?
Yeah, in the house. Yeah. So, and then you find
that's
out
cheating,
that
Derek.
Hiding space that they put those items in that they buy. My mom, I don't know if my dad had anything to do with this, but my mom chose to hide them in the hamper. Why she hid them in the hamper, I have no idea. Maybe because she thought, I never wash clothes.
Oh, mama never.
Well,
no one's ever going to outsmart mama.
Yeah, well.
Never going to happen.
This time I chose to look in the hamper. Why?
Oh.
Because I had been looking for them. I had been searching her spots.
No.
And like the spot she would usually put the stuff, they were not there.
Why you got to cheat? Why you got to cheat?
Because I had to know if I got those kangaroo boots, man.
So what happened when you found them?
Oh, I was so excited.
You just lost it and put them back?
Not to put them back. I just, oh, this look. Okay, there they go, my kangaroo boots.
Derek, why you got such a big smile on your face eating dinner tonight?
Doing my
nothing,
ruse.
Mama, nothing.
It was my ruse, man.
How many days did you have to go not telling anybody?
It was a couple of days. It was like
That's not too bad.
Yeah, it was right before Christmas, but I got my ruse.
You know.
All black with the fur on top.
And a coin slot.
They're Gore-Tex. Boy, I got those boots. And I swore, I wore those boots until you couldn't wear a pair of boots no more. I think I wore those boots like in May or June.
See, that's the kind of story I want with this question. Because everyone can say like, hey, I got my favorite action figure, I got my favorite video game, or I got my favorite book or whatever. But I want a story about something that was so important to you for really no reason at all, right? Like the boots, did they change your life? Maybe they did. I don't know. Maybe they changed your life.
At that moment, they changed my life. They changed my status at school.
Did you do a kip up every time? Like when you were walking, you just like kip up so you can look at
it? Oh, yeah,
like,
so you can look at it from the side. Oh, yeah, definitely. I went to the pencil sharpener a couple of more times just so everybody can see my boots. Oh, he got those new kangaroo boots.
Man, why is he breaking all of his tips on his pencils? Shane on Twitter says, tickets to see Michael Jordan play against Allen Iverson in the Sixers. That's a good one right there. That's a really good one. Wayne says he got a basketball goal when he was 5, and his parents even made him go through the house finding clues on where he could find the gift, which, of course, was in the garage. I made them get up at 3:30 a.m. to watch this because I was so excited that Santa had come to the house. Natalie says, a record player in the single Puppy Love by Donny Osmond. LOL. Good. Record players are good, man. Record players are amazing. So tweet us at 1025_MD.
I'll share mine later.
We got to get to the recruiting here.
Yeah, we do. I'll share mine later.
I wonder at what age does it just turn into video games?
Mine kind of falls in that line, but I'll explain later.
Like it feels
after
like
recruiting.
I feel like I'm the line. I'm the age of the person on the line that says anybody younger than me probably just wanted a video game, and anybody older than me wanted some black boots.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm the line here. All right, Tennessee yesterday, National Signing Day. They moved up 5 spots in the top 25, more than any other team. In the top 25 rankings, they go from 20th to 15th because they land multiple players yesterday that they really wanted, including in-state guys. they landed Tyler Barron kid who played here in Nashville, is out in Knoxville Catholic. They land him. He is the number 5 player in the state of Tennessee, the number 3 ranked player in their class. Lenneth Whithead, the linebacker out of Georgia, the number 5 rated player in their class. So again, those are two of the best 5 players that they've signed, both of them committing yesterday to Tennessee. Maven Joseph, the defensive end out of Florida, he committed and signed yesterday. He's a 4-star kid. And then they got Jimmy Holiday, an athlete that from Mississippi that had committed previously to TCU. So they added 4 big-name players. I think the most important thing for me, not only did they get into the top 15 yesterday with some players still left on their board, so they could even climb higher as the signing process continues through February, but 5 defensive linemen, 4 offensive linemen, 4 linebackers. That's 9 players in the front 7 and 4 offensive linemen. Jeremy Pruitt going hard after his trench warfare there, Derek. So that's what that's where you got to win in the SEC.
Absolutely. He understands that. I mean, being at Alabama, stockpiling defensive linemen and offensive linemen, so you're able to throw for 400 yards or run for 20 yards, that's huge. And in order to compete in the SEC, he knows that it starts with the line of scrimmage. And so many times this year, they've been dominated at the line of scrimmage. Last year, dominated at the line of scrimmage. Well, he's trying to change that now. Well, I got 2 5-star kids on 2 5-star tackles last year. He's doubled down again with getting a bunch of guys that play either the defensive line or offensive line. So he's trying to build this team from the inside out. And now he just has to develop the talent. He's getting talent. He's getting 4-star guys, a few 5-star guys. Now he has to develop that talent.
Yeah, no question. The other big piece of news, at least for the class so far, again, number 1 player in the state of Tennessee, Kendall Lawrence out of Ensworth. Amari Thomas is the 4th rated player in the state of Tennessee. Tyler Barron, number 5 rated player in the state of Tennessee. Byron Eason, the number 8 rated player in the state of Tennessee. Cooper Mays, number 9. And Martavius French, number 10. So they got 6 of the top 10 players in the state of Tennessee, something that they obviously did not necessarily do as well last year. So Pruitt, this year's class, focused on trench warfare, another big national signing day for him, just like it was last year, and a really focused in-state concerted effort to kind of get the Tennessee kids to stay home. And he did a great job of that yesterday as Tennessee moves from 20th to 15th in the team rankings, the biggest jump of any team in the top 25 yesterday. As far as moving up in the team rankings. So a great national signing day. Now, again, Alabama and Clemson competing for the 1 and 2 slots there nationally. You know, Ohio State's at 3, the usual suspects there. Georgia at 4, LSU 5, you know, Auburn, I think, 6, Florida 7. You know, just it's the who's who. So even still with a top 15 class, Tennessee still ranks 7th in the SEC, which is it just makes that much everything that much more difficult. You can't miss on players. You got to develop everybody. Tennessee, you can absolutely compete. I did the math last night. Out of the 24 teams that have made the playoff, 22 of them have had an average recruiting class of top 15 or better. So you've got to be in the top 15 if you want to make the playoff. The only 2 teams that did not make the playoff with recruiting classes not in the top 25 or top 15 was Washington and Michigan State, and they lost by a combined, I think, 65-7, so 64-7, something like that. When we return, there was one story yesterday, and normally on signing day, at least maybe up until a couple years ago, the signing day stories were just these crazy, bizarre, weird stories about a mother stealing a letter of intent or somebody forging a letter of intent, or one guy, I think, in 08, like, faked a scholarship offer from Cal and, like, announced he was going to go to Cal, and when the coach was asked about him, the coach said, "I'd never heard of this player." So, like, he did a whole entire press conference at his high school, and it was all fake. Like, we've heard about those stories for years. Yesterday, we had a good one. We had one on the positive side of things, and it involves an NFL Hall of Famer. We'll talk about that, and we'll let you hear that when we return right here on Morning Drive. $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa at 1025_MD. Check out the question there. Your best gift as a child, but it needs to have a story behind it. Like Derek Mason's story about those black boots with the fur on top and the coin pouch. I never heard of a pair of boots with a coin pouch on them.
Ruse, boy.
Ruse?
Ruse.
Ruse. All right. So, that's the kind of story I want. Good stories like that. Not just like, hey, I got a car when I was 16. Like, that's just, you're too lucky to win
$100.
Yeah, and I'm not going to give you a $100 gift card when you got a car. Like, it's got to be a good story here. So, tweet us those stories. We'll react. Marquise and I both have our stories. We'll tell you those coming up in just a few minutes. However, yesterday, National Signing Day. You know, a lot of times we hear about the bad stories, the weird stories, the crazy stories about people doing crazy, absurd, bizarre things, both parents and student athletes and coaches and fans. By the way, do not tweet at high school athletes that don't choose your school. Okay? Is that a fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
I don't think that's asking too much to say to grown adults, do not tweet at teenagers who decide to go to a different school and not your favorite school.
Don't tweet at a 17, 18-year-old.
I've never seen people actually
Are you kidding
that.
Me?
Oh, yeah,
are you kidding
it.
Kentucky fans will like wish torn ACLs on people. And I'm not trying to pick on Kentucky fans. It's everybody. Every fan base does this. Don't tweet at a high school teenager who decided not to go to your favorite school.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
It's not a good look. It's stupid. Just don't do it. Now, on the flip side, normally we don't have a story like this from yesterday, but I felt so strongly about playing this for you guys because I think it's an incredibly important lesson for not just parents of athletes, parents of kids who play sports, but for all parents. And it comes from an NFL Hall of Famer and the NFL's all-time leading rusher, Emmitt Smith, whose son, EJ, yesterday announced he was going to go to Stanford and not Florida, Emmitt Smith's alma mater. When that all happened, Emmitt picked up the Florida Gator hat and had this to say on national TV yesterday.
There's great emotion there. And Emmitt, last thing, he obviously did not pick up the hat of your alma mater. I wonder what just the advice that you gave him was throughout this process, knowing the schools that he was choosing between.
You know, I'm going to take this hat. I'm going to wear this hat. But I can wear this hat. He doesn't have to wear this hat. You know, his daddy went here. That doesn't mean that my son has to go there. At the end of the day, my son has his own journey, and it is his journey, not my journey. And for him to do the things that is best for him is what we teach all of our children, to find what is best for you and go make it happen for yourself. And I'm proud of him for standing up and being the man that he is, the man that he will continue to become. And I'm a Gator. He's still a Gator because he's in my family. My wife is a Gator because she's in our family. So we're still family of Gators, but we're supporting not only EJ, we support Skylar, we support Jasmine, we support Reagan and Elijah. All of our children, no matter where they go. We're going to be parents first, then we can fall in with our kids, fall in second.
So two things for me on this. Not just awesome job, Emmitt Smith. Number one, just great job. Great job. The two lines there that really stand out to me is when Emmitt Smith says, this is his journey, not my journey. I think that is an incredibly important message. And then we are parents first and Florida Gators family second. And also an incredibly important message there. I just want to say to Emmitt Smith, great job, dude. Like, I think it's a great message for all parents, all student athletes to hear. I think it's all young people, old people, whatever. Great job, Emmitt Smith. I'm just... Not many times in sports do we get to just say, "Hey, killer job, dude! Great! I hope everyone listens to you."
Yeah, I think he and his wife, EJ's mom, they did a great job at explaining to him, and I'm sure there are other kids that listen. Our road doesn't have to be your road. Our decisions don't have to be your decisions. I chose to go to Florida because of this. Your world is open completely. Infinite possibilities for you to, because if you can go to Stanford, you can go to just about any school. You can go anywhere. Don't pick my school because I went there. Now, if you want to go to Florida, great. That's fine. But pick it because you want to go there,
right?
Not because I want you to go there. I think every parent, deep down, if you've attended a university or high school or whatnot,
well, in particular, if you're an athlete,
yeah, your kid has a choice. You would love for that kid to go to the college and university that you went to because it's sort of the nostalgia of walking down, For me, the frozen tundra, and they've since kind of built it up on the campus, but we called it a frozen tundra, where it's just this stretch where the wind just was like brutal wintertime.
We trademarked that in Green Bay, right? Like, well, you can't use that, frozen tundra.
Yes,
you
can't
call it that.
Michigan State was here before.
I am an owner of the Green Bay Packers.
Michigan State, 1855. Yeah, there we go. See, there we go.
All right.
but I don't know if they're calling it the frozen.
No, you win. No, that's it. You win. No more facts needed.
No, but I think every parent deep down wants their kid to attend their university, but they understand if you are a open-minded parent, if you're a good parent, if you're not an overbearing parent, you allow your kids to pick the university that they choose to go to. You don't want to sit there and be hovering and demand that they go to, because I've heard about it, I've seen it, you know, whether you be an athlete or not. Your grandfather went there. Your father went there. You gotta go there. No other. If you don't go there, then we're not paying. And this is the stuff you hear. We're not paying for your education. So these kids are forced to go to a university that maybe they don't want to. Universities, colleges for athletes, and you know, just you know, the athletic and academic student is twofold. You are there to grow as a person, to learn as a person. Figure out who you are as a person. And then I think secondly, is the education, because to me, if you can't find out who you are as a person while you're in college, then you're not going to give, to me, you're not going to give your all in whatever subject you choose.
And
if you're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, and nobody expects everyone to walk out of college figuring
absolutely.
It all out, but like the process is important.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, a college, much like a locker room, is about meeting people from different places.
Absolutely.
And different backgrounds with different experiences and learning about different ways of life and finding out what you want your life to be. And I think it's more important. You can even back out, zoom out even further and go 10,000 foot view on parenting in general here, which is Emmett Smith teaching good lessons not only to parents of athletes and parents of recruits, but like every parent that's got a kid who plays sports, like the way kids and
or are in an activity,
any activity. Yeah. But like, you know, football dads in Texas are insane. Mm-hmm. Baseball parents in Georgia are crazy. U.S., you know, hockey parents in Canada are running 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds to like 36 tournaments a year. Like you're just grinding these kids down. And if somebody doesn't want to do it, then you got to let them decide. And I think it's an important lesson for every parent to say, you know, it's hard for us to not be involved in every second of our kids' lives. It's just very hard to, because they're the most important thing in your life generally, and you care more about them than you do anything else in the world. And so it's really hard to say, oh, this is where I've got to step back. I will come clean on this. I can't stand Frozen. I can't stand it. There's so much. There's like, the music is great. I get it. It's a beautiful movie. But there's so much Frozen at my house right now with two little girls that I can't stand it. And it's hard for me to say, like, when they both are like, hey, what do you want to be for Halloween? And they're both like, Elsa and Anna. And I have to be like, oh, no, there's like a million things you could be. Use your imagination. Be creative. Be fun. And like, no, that's what they want.
Yeah.
So that's what they went as. I might have grumbled to my wife a little bit.
Yeah. But you got to let them make that.
But they got to be Elsa and Anna when they went Halloween. So the point is just Emmett Smith with a great message yesterday on National Signing Day to, listen, it's his journey, not my journey. We got to be parents first, and then whatever else we are, second. And it's just, I think it's important, like, you know, dance parents, you know, beauty pageant parents. Like, they go just as crazy as football recruiting parents.
Maybe
do.
Even crazier. You know, it's just.
And I hate football recruiting parents. Like, they're the worst sometimes.
You have to have that happy medium if you are a sport parent. Yes, you want the best for your kid, but you also want to allow the kid to decide with your guidance, not, you know, with your guidance, allow them to pick the best place for them to grow as an adult.
And it doesn't mean they're going to make the right choice.
Exactly.
Every time.
They're not going to make the right choice. But
they got to learn from it.
But you got to remember, you were in the same spot.
Right.
You know, and you were screaming, Mom, Dad, let me make the decision.
Right. And then sometimes we made the right decision.
Exactly. So how can you then try to micromanage your kid?
Yeah.
Yes, you want your kid doing the best for your kid, but allow your kid to make the decision. You support them in that decision in regards to going to college, and you just let them know that whatever you choose, wherever you choose and whatever you choose, we will be there to support you.
Yeah. You got to hope that you've done a good enough job to set them up to make their own decisions, right? Like, that's the only hope you can have as a parent is just say, but I'm going to try to not screw you up so that you can make
it. It's just like, I agree. See some of the parents and about their kid, and they think their kid, you know,
They take it too seriously.
You know, best thing since sliced bread. And I'm just looking like, you know, some kids are great.
Sure.
Some kids, you look at them and say, that kid, he or she can play. And they can play at the next level, meaning college. But then you look at some kids, you're like, I wish their parents would just get a reality
just
check
just
in
chill
regards
out.
To your kid. Yeah.
Just chill
like,
out.
Let your kid be a kid.
Yeah.
Again, I've always said the best thing in the world, one of the best things in the world that happened in regards to our children, Marcy and I, was when my son said he didn't want to play football anymore. Now, listen, my son wasn't Emmett Smith's son, you know, a 4 or 5-star kid, 3-star kid, 2-star kid, or 1-star kid.
Now, he did get into Boston University, which is as good a school as Stanford,
yeah, but
if not
that
better.
Was because he chose his own path in regards to what he wanted to do. I don't want to play football. I want to be a doctor. I want to go and do, I want to go the academic route. Wow. And whatever I choose.
Good
and I was ecstatic as a parent.
That's amazing. And then you guys supported him. It's great.
Exactly.
And everybody could learn from that. And I do find it interesting. There's not really a reason or a story behind why it happened. But, you know, me growing up, and there's probably a lot of people listening that are I'm 37. I grew up with Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders. Like, those were the two dudes you watched on Sundays play football at the running back position in the era where running backs were like the superstars, right? Mm-hmm. And you sort of always had to pick a side. Emmitt or Barry. I was always a Barry guy just because I, you know, Emmitt played behind those great offensive lines and I was a Packers fan, so I hated the Cowboys, ironically, over the Lions because the Lions never really threatened us. And so it was, I just loved watching those two guys play. And I think it's very interesting, bizarre, ironic, whatever you want to call it, that Barry Sanders Jr. and Emmitt Smith's kid are both going to go to Stanford.
Yeah.
Not Oklahoma State or Florida where they played, but they both are going to go to Stanford. And I'm just going, I guess if my kid got a full ride to Stanford, I'd say, hell yeah, kid.
Yeah, take it and run.
Go on.
Take it and run.
Good for you. So I just think it's an important lesson to hear from arguably the greatest running back of all time. Mm-hmm. And him, as high a profile recruiting process as probably anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
For E.J. Smith, his son probably got more attention than most average players get when your dad is Emmitt Smith. And
exactly.
And his dad, I thought, played it perfectly. Well done, Emmitt. Hat tip to you for the way you handled that. More parents need to do what you did yesterday. Mr. Emmitt Smith, the all-time leading rusher in NFL history. Son, going to Stanford. Florida fans not happy about that, probably.
No, not at all.
But whatever. Don't tweet it.
Yeah, don't tweet it.
Thank you, Munson. All right, stick to sports when we come back. And our stories on our favorite Christmas presents as a kid. We'll get to that when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You are listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. By the way, special guest in studio coming up, Trey Crowder, who's going to be at Zany's all weekend starting tonight. Playing through Sunday at Zany's this weekend. Big Vols, Titans, Preds guy. So we'll talk with him. Also a comedian and great when we get to have guys pop in studio and just funnier people than us, Derek, that get to come hang out and turn the studio into a total mess for a little while. Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa, $100 gift card. Tweet at us, 1025_MD. The most memorable, best, greatest Christmas present you ever got as a kid. And again, needs to be some creativity there. There's got to be a story behind it. Derek told his story about the ruse. Mine was the NFL film Super Bowl highlight VHS. I was 12 years old, I think, maybe 11 years old. And it came out after Scott Norwood's against the Bills Giants, where Belichick sort of was famously stopped the K-gun. Like that, I watched that. I wanted that VHS so badly. Mm-hmm. And I probably used that Christmas gift more than any other Christmas gift I ever got in my entire life. I would have gotten it in like 1993 or 1994, and I probably watched it a billion times. And I wanted that NFL film Super Bowl highlight cassette. And everybody who is exactly my age knows exactly what I'm talking about. That VHS Super Bowl NFL films thing. Oh my God, I abused that thing. 65 toss power trap. It might bust wide open. 65 toss power trap. It might bust wide open. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Which game? That was
Kansas City and the Vikings, and that was Hank Stram, baby.
Oh man, I never was a big NFL films guy, like VHS back then.
That was the only one I wanted. I just wanted the Super Bowl highlight. It was like an hour and a half of highlights of every Super Bowl, and I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever gotten in my entire life.
Absolutely.
Absolutely abused it.
You know the greatest thing that happened in our life at this time?
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
And stick to sports. And now, on Morning Drive.
Every day around this time, we talk. Stick to sports. And you know who is brought to you by Decorating Den Interior. Stick with the pros at Decorating Den. When you're ready to decorate your home, office, or outdoor spaces, single men, families that are moving here, and you need some help with your decorating situations, then check out Bonnie and the good people over at Decorating Den Interiors. They will hook you up. So request a complimentary appointment. It's free, complimentary, online at decoratingden.com.
Number one.
All right, so real quick, here's mine. So when I was, I guess I was 10, 11. So, you know, they come out with these systems at the same time. So back in when I was growing up, Nintendo, GameCube came out, PlayStation 2, and Xbox came out all in the same Christmas.
Ooh, goodness.
So my mom's not very tech savvy. She doesn't know the difference between any of these games at all. So I remember asking her, like, you know, this is what I wanted for Christmas, you know, PlayStation. I wanted a PlayStation because I already had the PlayStation 1. So I'm like, I want to keep it going.
Did
I
she want the get you a Nintendo Wii?
No, she got me. No, really, because like so. And, you know, I'm one of these kids that I like to go find my present because I know it's somewhere around here. So I look for it. It was
you mean
our,
before Christmas.
Yeah, before Christmas.
Why y'all got to be ruining Christmas all the time?
Oh, man. You
both
know,
y'all.
I just wanted to know what I got.
Exactly.
Right. So I went to the car that we had in the trunk. Was a Nintendo GameCube. And I'm like, oh, man, she really going to give me a GameCube. Like, I'm 10, but, you know, and I have, it was just me and my mom, so I didn't want to, and I know she worked hard for it, so I didn't want to, like, make her feel bad of, like, I didn't want it. And it came with, like, some Super Mario game that was awful. It was probably the worst Super Mario game ever.
No such thing.
It was called Super Mario Sunshine. Yeah.
Oh, that's just, bad. That sounds bad.
Yeah. He was going around around cleaning stuff. It was the worst it was the worst game ever. And I was like, what?
Oh, my
goodness.
I was
goodness. Like, what is this?
Son, I want you to learn how to mop.
But it,
like Luigi.
But I had to kind of fake a smile on my face because, like, I didn't want to make my mom feel bad. Mom was a single mother. She worked hard to get this. Obviously, it's the newest system. It just came out. It's expensive. So I had to be like, yay, Super Mario Sunshine. I get to walk around with a little water hose and clean the city and all
Gang
this.
GameCube. I remember the GameCube.
It was
man.
Awful. So I think, and then my mom, she still has this to this day where she knows something's wrong with me without, and I think all moms do. Uh-huh. They know something's wrong with you, even though you don't tell them something's wrong. She know I didn't like that damn game. So what she did the next Christmas and didn't tell me at all. I didn't know what I was getting for Christmas. Open the box, PlayStation 2.
So I'm going to have you beat, but no one's going to have ever heard of this.
Mm-hmm.
So this would have been like 90. I was living in Dallas. So this would have been like also right around the time I got my NFL Films cassette VHS. This would have been like 91, 92. And I wanted a video. My brother and I wanted our first ever video game system. And we had never had one. And this would have been like pre-Sega Genesis, pre-Super Nintendo. So the only options would have been Nintendo, original Sega, or what my dad got us. TurboGrafx-16. Do you remember the TurboGrafx-16?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That's awful.
It was post-Atari, pre-Nintendo. And like he went to the store, and he looked at Nintendo and like Contra and Mario Brothers and all those historically epic games. And he looked at Sega, and it was all the sports games and like Sonic the Hedgehog and all these great stuff. And he's like, nah. I'm going to go with TurboGrafx-16.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it sounds cool if you're like,
Sega.
And don't get me wrong, we played it like crazy.
Like,
but
tomorrow.
It might have lasted for like 2 or 3 years before we were like, we're getting that Genesis, dog, because I need that Madden.
Yeah.
I need Madden 94, Madden 95, college football, NHL 94. Oh, that was my jam. Like, it took me about 2 years to realize I was the only kid in my school that did not have a Sega or a Nintendo. I was TurboGrafx-16. Keith Courage. Remember Keith Courage?
TurboGrafx-16. That sounds like a
Bonk's Adventure
that I don't want.
Yeah, Bonk's Adventure, Bonk's Revenge,
hey man,
Keith
what
Courage.
You got? Oh, I got games? That. I got that new Nintendo. What you got? Oh, I got that new Sega. What you got?
TurboGrafx-16.
TurboGrafx-16. Huh? What did you say? TurboGrafx-16.
Out of the thousands of people that are listening, there's like 11 of them that are like, I feel you, dude. Like,
it's like that.
I got that TG. It's like I got that TG-16.
It's like that Eddie Murphy from with a stand-up special. He's like, we all got McDonald's, and taught him about it. He's like, I got a homemade burger. And he started crying.
Well, he had that TG-16.
And somebody says in the text line that, tell him that Super Mario Sunshine was actually the highest rated rated Mario games
what?
Ever.
Take what? A look.
It wasn't awful. He just has awful taste. Look here, sir. If you played Super Mario Sunshine and you enjoyed yourself and that was your favorite Mario
so be
game,
it.
You probably, hey, your prerogative, my friend. Your prerogative.
Hey,
but that game was
awful. Everybody can
me.
Enjoy what everybody wants to enjoy.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
do every, you, America.
But the one
you
game I did get that I was happy with, I got Def Jam Vendetta, which was like a wrestling game with rappers.
Yes, rappers. I remember that game.
So I used to just like beat up people with DMX. That was actually pretty awesome.
I remember
awesome.
That game.
Were you too young for the Tyson boxing game?
No. I had Super Nintendo.
Okay.
But I was like,
see, I never had a Nintendo ever. Not one.
My first system was Atari.
Attaboy.
The regular Atari.
Pong and tanks. You remember tanks?
Well, one button and a stick. That's all you had. And one button and a stick.
Was it that tank game, right?
Yeah,
where
tank,
you drive the
yeah.
tank and you just drive
it. It's called War. It went from the tanks. It went from like yeah. different. It yeah. was just awful. It was great.
It was
but
great at
looking
the time.
Back, it was awful.
So one time.
Nintendo and Sega changed everything.
Well, we had every system because we had Super Nintendo. And my brother would never. I told you guys, I have an older brother and he was a bully. He never let me play Super Nintendo. Like if he caught me playing Super Nintendo, he would beat me up and told me not to play it. I guess he felt so bad for me at one point. He got me my own system. He got me a Sega Genesis. And it came with a bunch of games. And I'm like, hey, where'd you get this from? He's like, I stole it. What'd you think?
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, you gonna give me a stolen Sega Genesis? Thank you, by the way. Can you pop in
Statues,
Sonic the Hedgehog?
Limitations is over. So
what about Sonic? Was it Sonic 2 where he had to go underwater on like level 3? And he had to go underwater, and like it would start counting down. It'd be like, bam,
yeah,
bam. And you ran out of oxygen, and then you
Sonic
die.
2? Was that? That wasn't Sonic 1, 2. Was it?
I think it was Sonic 2.
Might have been Sonic 2.
Where you go underwater and like the whole world would move up and down.
Oh, I love that, man.
Oh, I
used
to love them games, man.
That was after I was video game shunned at the lunchroom table for my TurboGrafx 16.
Oh, wow.
What's Bonk's Adventure? Nobody could relate. I was alone in my TurboGrafx 16-ness. It's ridiculous. Thanks, Dad. I've totally moved on.
Yeah,
so.
No. Real quick, today is a Star Wars day. Last Star Wars movie comes out, and I'm not a big fan of Star Wars.
Is
but
tonight at midnight?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, so technically tomorrow.
Tomorrow, but today is Star Wars Day for all you Star Wars fans, so enjoy yourself. I'm not a big fan of the movie personally, but hey, different strokes, different folks.
I think it's, even if you don't love it, it's hard to not acknowledge how important it was in 1977. Now they're just printing cash, like all the other Marvel movies. They're just printing cash.
Pretty much.
But I didn't like the seventh one because it was basically a repeat of the very first one that came out, which was actually episode 4, if you can follow any of that.
Derek's over there
looking at the gram.
Yeah.
I stopped watching after Phantom Menace.
I can't. I'm not a big, you talked about Mandalorian.
Rogue One was way better than I thought.
I'm not a big,
Force Awakens.
It's not bad, Star Wars. I'm just not that into it.
Yeah, but if you have that opinion, Derek, you're going to like piss off both sides.
Yeah, people are, yeah, man.
Like, you either think Star Wars is the greatest thing in the history of the world or you think it's the worst thing in the history of the world.
I'm
you
just
can't,
in a mad.
You can't just have an opinion on it. Like, that's my opinion on The Mandalorian. I'm like, I don't love it.
I don't hate it. Yeah,
I watched
cool.
it. It's fine.
I'll watch it again if I had to.
I don't know where all these fobs were in all the other movies. I'd like to know.
Yeah, where these, way around.
These fobs can track any human being in the entire galaxy, and you're telling me you couldn't find Luke Skywalker in any movie?
Nope.
Doesn't make any sense to me. Science of Star Wars. Debunked.
That's our world.
Trey Crowder going to join us in studio, comedian. He's going to be at Zany's all weekend, this weekend, starting tonight through Sunday night. You can catch him there. A couple of shows per night. He's going to join us. Vols, Titans, Preds. He's a big fan of Tennessee sports. He's from Tennessee, and he's going to join us in studio when we come back right here on Morning Drive.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.